How can I keep from singing? I've got quite a few announcements for you today. Parent weekend coming up here in October. Registration forms are out in the lobby on the credenza and available online today. So we have Parents Weekend coming up. Everybody can be praying for that. It's the weekends of October 1st through 3rd or October 8th through 10th. And that is, again, just so that all of our parents can make it. Those who want to be there can be there, and we can help watch each other's kids. And, you know, I'll take one of your kids. You can take five of mine. No. Don't worry, I won't do that. So we have those two weekends. I wanted to read this verse to you. It may take a minute. And the Lord God is to be loved with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Keep these words which I say to you this day deep in your hearts. Teach them to your children with all care, talking to them when you are at rest in your house or walking by the way, when you go to sleep or when you get up. So that is their heart for this weekend. And I don't know, I was a little anxious when I first heard of it, thinking like, I don't really feel like a good parent today. But I think that the heart is to, well, let's help each other with these things and to have a nice time away from our kids and enjoy that time together, build each other up so we can go back and take the love that we have for our Heavenly Father and for our Lord Jesus Christ and teach it to our kids. If you have infants, remember they are welcome to come as well. So we have some accommodations from them as well. And there's more information on the sheet regarding that. Then we have lost and found. A few items we've been lost, but now we're found. Oh, our items are still lost. They're sitting out on the table out front. So from the weekend, last weekend, and then while we're at it, maybe take a check through from the other lost and found. There's several jackets. There's a whole bin of green plastic bin over there by the windows. Maybe just take a peek through and you'll find that thing you lost 6 months ago. So, and reminder to fellowship leaders to pick up your shoes. Everybody's leaving everything. Pick up your shoes from the family weekend. They're out on the bookstore table in the front lobby. If you do have pictures, if you found some pictures from last weekend that you'd like to share with the church, you can meet with Leon back by the giveaway board after fellowship today, and he can tell you how to get them to him to go on the website. And the last announcement is there will be snacks available in the lobby after fellowship today, so we can enjoy spending some time having a little cookie or something after fellowship today. So Sean Quinlan is teaching today. He came up to me and said, so I'm leading your teaching. And I said, well, I'll be teaching on songs then. So Sean Quinlan is going to share God's word with us this morning. But before he does, we're going to sing number 55. I love him. All right. I love him.
Thank you.
Sean.
Well, thank you, Bethany. Good morning, saints. How are we doing this morning? All right. Well, it's so wonderful to be here with all of you. I want to first thank Tom Burke for the honor and privilege it is to be up here to share God's word with you all today. It is truly an honor. And before we get started today, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for this church that we have the opportunity to come together like this around your word. God, that we can have our hearts open to receive all that you have for us this morning. God, that we can be ready to receive deliverance, to be ready to receive a changed life, you know, that we can make that decision together. I thank you so much for these words and for this morning. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray, amen. All right, well, you can start turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. You know, the book of Deuteronomy, depending on how familiar you are with this book, it's a retelling or kind of a recounting of the law. It's a looking back at the promises that God had fulfilled for the children of Israel. And then it's also kind of preparing them for entering into the promised land, right? This morning, as we're looking at these things, we're really going to be looking at God's encouragement to the children of Israel to keep and to guard his commandments, as well as drawing some parallels between our Christian life and the importance of remembering and holding and guarding this word of God. So in chapter 7, we'll read here in verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So the children of Israel were God's people, right? They were a holy people to him. He loved them. He chose to work with them and to bring his promises through them. Specifically, he had an inheritance that he was going to provide them in this promised land. But also he had promised them the Savior would come through their line as well, right? Unfortunately, the children of Israel failed to believe God in entering into the promised land the first time, right? If you can remember, there were 12 spies that went into the promised land, and they gave a report of the land, right? Was that report of the land good? Wow, we're sleeping this morning. Yes, okay. Yes, it was good, right? It was everything that God said it was. It was flowing with milk and honey. This was a great land. But they also gave other things to say, right? They said, oh, well, there's armies there, and they're bigger than ours. Remember, they're the fewest of all peoples, and these armies are massive. Their walls are heavily fortified. What do we have to go against those things? Many of us know the answer to that, right? They had God Almighty. What's bigger than him? Unfortunately, they were tricked by their five senses into believing that the words from God weren't as big as what they heard, weren't as big as what they saw. And due to their unbelief, they were to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before being able to enter in, right? So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be spending a lot of our time mainly in Deuteronomy 6 and 8, and we're going to be flipping in some other places. So if you want to keep your marker here, that would be a good idea. I wanted to read verse 9 in chapter 7 too. I'm sorry. He says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is kind of going to be our theme as we go through here, okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So when I read this, I should say when I was younger and I read these things, I used to get fooled into thinking that laws, commandments, these words are like, that's for like the Old Testament folks, right? I used to think that, you know, I'm a Christian now. I'm living in grace, right? We got to be careful because God's commandments, his statutes, his judgments, those are good, right? Yes, we live in grace, but to think that these laws and commandments are no longer applied to me is foolishness. Our righteousness is 100% secured in Christ, right? Like, nothing can separate us. We even heard in manifestations, nothing can separate us from his love. But to assume that God has decided that now that you're a Christian, now that you're his son and daughter, he's just cool with you doing whatever? That's foolishness, right? Go back and listen to our family weekend teachings, and you'll learn that that's definitely not God's stance. Read 1 Corinthians, right? Like, yes, we have been secured in our righteousness. Yes, our eternity is secured. It is complete. But he wants us to live a life here and now that's glorious. He wants us to live a life here and now that is pleasing in his sight. So his commandments are good. His judgments and statutes are good. Let's keep reading here in Deuteronomy, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sound familiar? Pretty sure we just heard that this morning, right? Bethany read that verse this morning, if you didn't know what I'm referring to. But it's kind of a plug for our parents' weekend. This verse is going to be highlighted through that weekend for sure, and we're going to look at the instruction of God's word for his children for all ages to help us better train them up in God's ways, right? It's going to be a wonderful time, so if you're a parent, I strongly encourage you to be there. We'll read verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It's funny in our day and time. How many of you guys have gates? Not too many. Maybe some of you have a gate in front of your house. But what do we usually see? Somebody have a coffee mug, they'll have posters with verses. Different things like that, and we just do that because we want to look like good Christians, right? No. Why would we have a verse hanging up in our house? Why do we have a verse on our coffee mug? To remind us, right? So Jenna was drinking a coffee out of a mug this morning that had Philippians 4:6 on it, and it was such a great reminder that be anxious for nothing, but you know, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God, that I can do that, right? That reminds me that God is faithful. I know some of us have post-it notes in our car to remind us of those things too. It's a wonderful thing. You know, too often we can allow our life with God to be scheduled when it's convenient and can sometimes treat the word of God in a fashion that's, it's never convenient when we treat it that way, right? It's meant to be lived. It's meant to be our focus. You saw back in verse 6 and 7 where it's, you're going to teach them diligently to your children. You're going to talk of them when you sittest in your house, when you walkest by the way, when you liest down, when you risest up. That's living. That's real, right? That's not just something that like, oh, you know, I'm going to block out this little time here. And, you know, maybe it's probably good to think about it again before I go to sleep. Maybe I should pray. Maybe I should read. Okay. Is that living the Word of God? It's to be all day, every day, 24/7, that this is life to me. This is real to me. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. That's how it becomes non-obligation, right? Because what happens is I can determine that, you know what, I'm going to do this. But if I determine it in a sense of an obligation, how long is that going to last? Right? Then it becomes a law. Then it becomes not living. It doesn't become what God intended it to be. That his word, we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. When we do that, can we then have this living in our life day in and day out, that this is what we desire. This is what's on our lips. This is what's coming out of our heart, that we so desire to be with God in his word, with his people. It's easy. We complicate things. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. So this is a very similar to beginning that we just read in chapter 6, as we'll see. So all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. I want to take a look at this a little bit, so let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Again, I'm sure many of us are familiar with manna and how God blessed them that way, but let's just take a quick look at this here in Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 4. It says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven, for you and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And in verse 35, he says, the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So God fed them each day with this miracle bread from heaven. You know, in another place, it's called angel's food. Now, that's not like the stuff you get at Kroger, right? That you put strawberries on. That stuff's delicious, but that's not what we're talking about. Like, this is the food that angels would eat, right? It's miraculous. And it was just enough for your family for the day. You couldn't hold any over, because if you held any over, what would happen? It would spoil, it would rot. Not to mention, God told them not to. That was the biggest thing. They didn't even need to know that it would spoil. They just needed to know God said don't, right? And what happened on the sixth day? Right, you get a double portion, enough for the next day. So somehow, God in his wisdom figured out that this stuff is going to last only one day, Monday through Friday. We'll say Monday through Friday. Who knows what those days actually were back then, or Monday through Saturday, I should say. And then, Saturday, it lasts until Sunday, right? So this miracle bread and God's instructions of how to gather and how to prepare this manna, they were specific. But were they simple? Yeah, so they couldn't say, well, you know, you made it too complicated, God, so we struggle to understand what you really meant. Well, no. God's word is simple. It's very simple, and his instruction was simple. They made it complicated. Really, they didn't believe, right? So we're going to see the point of view that God took of how they treated this in Psalm 78. If you turn there with me. We're going to start in verse 12. I'll let you all get there. It says, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and at the night with a light of fire. You know, when they were wandering in the wilderness, it's not like God left them alone to just go in circles. He had this cloud that would guide them through the day. He had a pillar of fire that guided them through the night. Again, miraculous. He fed them with this miraculous bread. He guided them through this entire time. He clave rocks in the wilderness, verse 15, and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Water came out of a rock. Like, it's just amazing. And on verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Oh, man, oh, man. You know, consider this. I'm going to pick on Nathan, if that's okay. You're sitting in the front row. You're bound to get picked on. So imagine, fast forward in life. So you're a father. You have a son or a daughter. Doesn't matter. Let's say they're driving or riding their bicycle 5 miles to and from work every day. And you're like, man, I really want to get them a car. You know, and then you get enough and you're able to get them this car, right? So you provide this car and you're so excited, like, man, now they're not going to have to ride their bike to work 5 miles there and back every day. So your son gets the car, your daughter gets the car, and they're like, I really didn't like that color. The stereo doesn't even have Bluetooth? It'd be better if it had a backup camera, but I guess it'll work. You know, how does that make you feel? Like, that's essentially what the children of Israel were doing here, right? Oh, man, oh, man. God had provided all they needed, and they wanted more. You know, Josh did an incredible teaching on covetousness. It was a two-part series, and I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you haven't yet. You know, as Christians, we do not want to find ourselves in a position of never being satisfied. That's just, it's a terrible place to be. You know, God has abundantly provided all that we could ever need in Christ. To continue to lust after what's not ours, we don't want to be there, you know. I encourage you that if you find yourself in that position, to read God's word, to allow him to show you that he will take care of you. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I told you guys to put a marker there, and I didn't even put a marker there myself, so. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to finish out verse 3 here. So he said, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with man which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. You know, God did this miracle of sending this manna to them these 40 years to show him his faithfulness, that his words are faithful, that they are to be trusted. And look how he blessed them too. Their feet didn't swell, their clothes didn't, you know, wear out. All to the end that they would learn to guard his words. You know, in verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments, guard the commandments of the Lord with your heart, so that you can walk in his ways and fear him. Stand in awe of him. Now we're going to read a little bit about the inheritance that God had promised them that they were going to enter into. In verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, a little bit more about this inheritance. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which you dig not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Well, hold on there just for a second. So, this land is pretty good, isn't it? It's a pretty amazing inheritance that he gave to these people. Now, as Christians, are we waiting for a land? No. Do we have an inheritance, though? Oh, yeah. We're going to look at that inheritance real quick before we continue on to Deuteronomy. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Because this land is pretty sweet, but I would venture to say our inheritance is, is a little better in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Oh man, what an inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, it fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You guys can start turning back to Deuteronomy 8. You know, our inheritance is sealed unto the day of redemption. The Spirit is a guarantee of the first installment of the inheritance we shall receive. Man. Consider, too, all that we currently have as Christians, right? That we're righteous, we have holiness, peace with God, love, the way that God loves. The body of Christ is church. Now, the list goes on and on. And these are things that we must guard. That we must guard. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Sorry, I'm still in Psalm 78 somehow. Wrong marker. Verse 11. "Beware. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. Thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." You know, it's in the nature of man to relax and forget when things are going well. It's easy to do. Sometimes, you know, in life, it's when things are pressing in on you on all sides and things are really, really difficult. Sometimes it's a little easier because it's like, what can I do but turn to God? Like, if I don't, then I'm going to be swallowed up. But there will come a time, maybe not now, the way things are, I don't know, but there will be a time in your Christian walk, I am sure of it, that things will be a little bit easier, seem a little bit easier. And in that moment, don't forget the God that brought you there, right? Don't forget that He is the one that provides true peace, true joy in this life. We have to hold fast to God's word like a treasure. We can't treat this word as a job. We can't treat it as some cool historical account. These words are life. And they're so very precious. We're such a blessed people. God has given us as Christians some warnings too, right? Many warnings. One that I just want to look at a little bit. You guys don't have to turn there. But in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, God tells us to be sober and vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's not be ignorant of our adversary. Let's not be ignorant of what he's after. The goal of our adversary, the devil, is to get us to deny the power of his word, of God's word, right? To get us to question, is he actually as faithful or as good as he says he is? Many times we fall into a situation where it's like our mind tries to play tricks on us because the adversary is just poking, prodding. Emma, if God puts it on your heart and says, I want you to serve in children's fellowship, or I want you to serve in hospitality, and you're like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden these thoughts start coming in of, really, Emma, you? You really think that you could do this? What makes you so special? What makes you think you could do that? Where are those thoughts coming from? Where are those lies coming from? The devil, right? If you haven't been vigilant in holding the word of God in your heart and clinging to these words, might you fall to those? Might you allow those to have some inroads into your thought process, into the decisions that you make on a day in and day out basis? I urge you to look at your life and consider, are there any areas where I've allowed that? Where I've been lax in allowing those thoughts to come in? And allowing them to affect my decisions in my Christian walk, in my day-to-day choices? Am I seeking God? Am I asking Him for direction, for guidance, for help? Because He's there. He wants to. Let's not be ignorant of our adversary. Let's not be ignorant of what he's after. We're going to look a little bit here in Joshua, actually, if you would turn there. So the children of Israel were warned of what not to allow happen, right? To hold to this word of God, to not let it depart. And in Joshua, he has the awesome privilege of leading them into this land, right? This inheritance. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Let you all get there. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Not any man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And God encourages him to be strong and of a good courage. Now, is that something that he has to figure out on his own, what that means? Is he pondering, God, what do you mean by be strong? Does that mean I need to, hit the weights? Does that mean I need to muster all the courage that I can in me before I step out and walk out? No, we've got to keep reading, right? God tells him very specifically what he means by be strong and courageous. In verse 7, it's be strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Very familiar to what we saw in Deuteronomy, right? Same encouragement. Hold to my word. Don't turn from it. Man. We know that if man is left to his own devices, what is he going to choose? Is he going to choose grace and mercy and a life of peace? What's he going to choose? Flesh? Sin? Now, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, we are not left to our own devices, right? That we have a choice. We have spirit. We have a God that enables us to walk out in his ways. We can walk into the circumstances of life hand in hand with our God. We have his word. We have his spirit. In 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Again, this is going to be very similar instruction as we had seen in that God gave Moses in Deuteronomy. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my son, what? Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep or guard my commandments. For what length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Again, how am I going to be able to do that if I treat this as an obligation? Am I ever going to get to that point where I can trust in the Lord with all my heart? I won't. If I'm going to trust in the Lord, I got to love him with all my heart, mind, and soul, right? I have to make the determination as I read his word that, man, he sent his son for me. Even for me. Even for you. Then we can begin to acknowledge him in all of our ways. In all of our ways. And stop leaning on our own understanding. Stop leaning on ourselves to figure this life out. Why would we do that when God has so freely given to us a better way, right? Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Man, what does 2 Timothy 3:16 state? That's right. For the instruction of righteousness. Oh, man, all scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, if you weren't here Monday, or you didn't have a chance to listen to it yet, Tom went into the Greek word paideia, that instruction of children. I strongly encourage you to listen to that. And in verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, what makes this Christian life so exciting is that you and I get to live this life without thinking, you know, what could my life have been if I would have fill in the blank, right? We know that if we're directed by God via His Word, via His Spirit, our life's going to be full, right? Full of joy, no matter what career path or it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're directed by God via His Word, via His Spirit. Our life will be full, full of joy, full of peace, full of long-suffering, and all the other wonderful fruits of the Spirit, right? That's what we want to exemplify. That's what we want to show. So if you can with me, let's turn back to Deuteronomy. You know what, before we go there, let's turn to Psalm 119. I'm sorry. Psalm 119. And in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Man, oh man. This psalm is so wonderful. It's an entire, I don't know how many verses are in here, a lot, dedicated to the Word of God. Dedicated to holding these words, admonishing these words, exalting these words, a desire to hold them, to not let them depart. May we be as the psalmist. May we treat these words as the treasure that they are. All right, you could go to Deuteronomy now. Chapter 7. We're closing out here. I'm going to end a little early. You know, it's funny. You don't do this very often, so you think that your teaching's going to be super long and it's short. But I trust that if you guys had ears to hear this morning, that I at least hope you take away the importance of this word and how amazing it is that men and women like us have the opportunity to behold this word, to teach this word. Oh my gosh, to allow it to affect every area of our life. That we have the promise that it's going to be full of joy, full of peace. Oh man, that we're going to be directed by Him. Is there anything more exciting than that? To know that my life can be directed by Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Do you have any idea how amazing it is that you can say that confidently and know that that's true? Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Amen.